It really is difficult to imagine stepping into the shoes of Abram and Sarai as God called them to leave everything that was familiar to them and to journey to an unknown destination, a new place. I had a friend who retired as a missionary after having spent 30 years in Pakistan. And I remember him telling me the story about what it was like when they left, that he and his wife and young children had with them only what could fit in the bags that they were carrying as they stepped onto a boat to travel halfway around the world. And since they were going by boat, it was not as if they could return even for a short visit. That they were going into the unknown, where they would have to adapt to a new place, culture, and language. That sounds more like the experience of Abram and Sarai. But for the rest of us, we find a connection to those two that God called through our experience of the journey of faith, looking for God's presence and listening for God's calling, sometimes only knowing the very next step of the journey, not looking at the entire itinerary before us. And the journey of faith always changes us. Like Abram and Sarai, receiving new names, Abraham and Sarah. That we are changed along the way by both what is good and what is hard. And some of the time, there is not much that separates those two, what is good and what is hard, that they can be rooted in the exact same thing, where if we live long enough, we discover that the gift of love is also the burden of grief. Whenever I see one of those signs at a football game being waved around with such energy, cheering on your team, and it says, John 3:16, it makes me want to run to the closet and get my own piece of poster board and make my own gigantic sign that says, "Remember Nicodemus." Because it is so easy to forget where that verse comes from. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. There was this Pharisee named Nicodemus that went to see Jesus because he felt as if Jesus had something important to say about God, that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And Nicodemus didn't understand. How can someone be born again after having grown old? That the journey of faith changes us. And that change does not always feel like a triumphant victory, like waving that sign around at a football game. Sometimes it feels as if the world has come to a stop. And we don't have the strength in and of ourselves to get it turning again. That Jesus talks about God overcoming death. And sometimes that is the love of God restoring our lives after the loss of a loved one. That when we talk about life after death, we're also talking about life after loss. And there are many ways in which we can experience a death. That it might be the loss of a friendship or marriage, the loss of a beloved pet or job, the loss of an ability or an opportunity, the loss of a home or a dream. That loss comes in many different shapes and sizes, and so does grief. And one of the constants in our grief is the steadfast love of God restoring our lives. The other constant of our grief is our loneliness. That there is nothing more universal in this life than grief, but it can make us feel like we are absolutely isolated from others. Richard Lisher was a theologian who taught at Duke, and he talks about growing up and going off to boarding school. That he had to leave everything familiar around us, friends and family, and go off to a new place where he had to adapt. And one of the problems was the dormitory was just full of constant noise. Rowdy and unruly, a difficult place to study. So he says he took to taking long walks in the evening by himself. And he says it was there that he learned how to pray. That he just started talking to God, if for no other reason, so that he didn't feel all alone. That he would say to God, I cannot live in this place. This dorm is driving me crazy. Or he would talk about school. Surely it is impossible to learn more than one language at once. Or finally, God, you know, I do not have any friends. He says that he was thankful for these walks because it was on them that he found the presence of God. But as he looks back, he also realizes that he should have reached out to others as well. As he says, the intense privacy of our communion with God can exclude others from life's most critical moments. That it is in prayer and community that we discover the presence of God, helping us to overcome our grief, not quickly, but eventually. And it's why that picture that we might have of the psalmist who looked to the hills for help is helpful to us. Because we might picture this psalmist traveling on foot, that the journey does not happen quickly, but eventually. And the psalmist kept looking up at the hills off in the distance, looking to the Lord who made heaven and earth, remembering the direction in which we should travel, traveling towards hope and wholeness. But we must remember that looking up to the hills, whereas it is helpful, it's not where our eyes stay fixed. As Carolyn D'Ammons Blevins writes about her grief, if I look up, it seems too hard, that my body starts to bend over in response. But when I focus on one step at a time, I can stand up better because I'm just looking down at the next step. That I ask God for strength just for the day. that in our grief it is helpful to pause, to look up, to remember the direction in which we are headed, the hope and the healing that is in front of us. But we make the journey by just taking one step at a time. Nicholas Walterstorff, a theologian that taught at Yale, lost his son when his son was just in his 20s. And he seems to name the very struggle of grief, that the pain of the no more outweighs the gratitude of the once was. So we ask, will it always be so? Will there be a day where the gratitude outweighs the pain? That the mending of our grief is a long adjustment. It's like setting out on a journey, and you cannot see the entire itinerary in front of you. And our healing, whether it is a broken arm or a broken heart, always takes longer than we expect. And through our healing, we are changed. But along the way, we realize that the same grace of God that gave us such love and joy in the past is still out in front of us. That it will not be the same, but it is the same grace that continues to enrich our lives. That gives us enough strength to make the journey one step at a time, leaning into God's presence and on the presence of others, making the journey one day after another. Because none of us, absolutely none of us, was meant to do this life alone. Amen.